Coming to you from the North Devon coast, this is Coaching Radio, the sound of success. Our words, your movement. Coaching Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Coaching Radio, the sound of success, with me, Dave Baxter, from Altered Image. Well, for today's show, what I decided I'd like to do is to look at a teaching or a writing by a chap called Arnold Bennett. Now, this piece was written in the round about the turn of the 19th to the 20th century. It's entitled How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. And when I read through it, I thought, this is brilliant stuff. It could make a good program. So off we go with my take on living on 24 hours a day. There are many courses and teachings available in today's world that profess to explain how to live on £200 a week or how to manage your money. But no one seems to have devised a teaching or a course covering living on 24 hours a day. There is a common phrase that says, time is money. And yet, this is an erroneous statement. Time is worth far more than money. If you have the time, you can always create more money. But no matter who you are or how much wealth you have, you can never buy a minute more than you actually have. Time is the raw material of everything. With it, everything is possible, while without it, nothing can be done. Time is a miracle. You wake up every day and you magically have a full 24 hours just for you. It is the most precious of your possessions. No one can take it from you, nor can you give it to someone. In the realm of time, there is no aristocracy and no hierarchy of wealth. No matter how clever you may be, you will never be rewarded with an extra minute or have an hour added to your day. You can waste as much of it as you like, and the next day's supply will be there for you in its entirety. You cannot borrow against it, nor can you get into debt with it. You can only waste this moment. You cannot waste the next hour or tomorrow. You have to live in this 24-hour period, and in it you have to create health, pleasure, money, contentment, and respect, to name but a few. The effective use of this moment is of the highest urgency. Everything depends on it. Money is far more common than time. It is fair to say that money is probably the most common thing that there is. If you can't survive on a certain amount of money per week or year, then you find ways to make the extra cash that you need. Most of us would just say that we need this money and go out and earn it, find it, or steal it, whichever way we feel is appropriate. But if we apply this thinking to time and realise that we are running short, there is no way that we can go and get hold of some more. The supply of time is wonderfully regular, but is harshly restricted. Let us take an example here. Which one of us has a fabulous suit and yet spoils it by a shabby hat? Or which one of us spends so much time on the table setting that we forget the quality of food that we are serving to our guests? And our inner self-talk says something like, I will alter that when I have more time. We will never have more time. We have what we have always had, and that is all that there is. We are often haunted by the feelings that the years are slipping by, day after day, week after week, month by month, and year by year, and that we have not been able to get our lives in order. It is like a skeleton or a spectre from another world saying, what have you done with your youth, and what are you doing with your age? You may decide that you want to make a journey to India, and your conscience tells you that you should go. You set off on that journey. You may never reach India. Your journey may be thwarted for whatever reason. This unfulfilled desire will always niggle you, but nowhere near as much as the niggles a person who wants to go to India but never leaves his home will endure. It is quite something to leave our hometown and go on a journey such as this, when most people have not even taken the trip to the travel agents, making the excuse, there are only 24 hours in a day and I'll do it when I have the time. However, the desire to accomplish something more than the everyday things such as working, saving and increasing your prosperity is always there, continually nagging at us. But even if we do accomplish it, the likelihood is that we will not be satisfied. This desire to accomplish is not just linked to travel. It is a desire to accomplish something that is outside of our normal programming, and until an effort is made to do this, we will continue to suffer with disturbed peace. There is a constant air of dissatisfaction with our daily life, and the main cause of this is the nagging fact that something has been left undone. Something that you would like to do and that you are longing to do when you have more time. But the very fact is that none of us will ever have any more time. There is no magical formula that can be used to create more time. We have exactly what we have to have, no more, no less. Some refer to this as all the time in the world. So what do we do? Well, we have to arrange our lives so that we can live on 24 hours a day and remain forever aware that the task and the sacrifices we have to make consist of endless efforts and demands. So what does this entail? Let us for a moment consider how the average day is broken up. Now here lies a difficulty, because who can say what the average day actually is? So let us say, for the purposes of this piece, that the working male or female spends approximately 8 hours in gainful employment. And if you subtract that from the 24 hours in a day, there remains 16 hours. A whole 16 hours to do with what you will. Now going back to Mr. or Miss Average, their day will usually begin by them waking up to an hour before setting off for work. And during that time, they will perform their usual morning rituals and probably sit down with a cup of coffee and sit watching TV for about half an hour. This half an hour is gone from the 24 hours of the day and cannot be replaced. Then it is time for the journey to work. Some will drive, some will walk, some will take a bus, and others will take a train. Many will buy a newspaper on the way, and often, if their mode of transport allows, they will read the paper en route. Personally, I never read newspapers. I find them full of doom and gloom. But then that is my own personal opinion, and not necessarily indicative of everyone else. So back to our daily worker. They will arrive at their work, and again, many, although not all, will waste more time chattering, making coffee or tea, having a cigarette, and so on, until eventually they begin their daily work. Generally speaking, in the following 8 hours, it is estimated that the average person only works for 33% of the time they are at work. There will be coffee breaks, lunch breaks, that's time to read the paper if necessary, before winding down and then leaving for the day to travel home. Evening commuters are, in the majority of cases, tired after their day's exertions at the office or factory. So the evening commute robs them of more of their precious time, because they are so shattered and generally make the journey in silence. Once home, they will often collapse into a chair and take time coming round, because they have had such a hard day. The net result being that still more time is wasted. Oh, and then it's time for dinner, and another hour is gone. So let us bank this wasted time for the moment. No mention of the weekend here, so let us now consider Sunday and Saturday. Firstly, I have no concern with Sunday, because that is a day that one can just do with and be exactly as you wish. You can call it your lazy day, if you wish, but Saturday is different. How much time is wasted on an average Saturday? This is actually, again, difficult to quantify, because Saturdays mean different things to different people. And so it may be prudent to suggest here that we look at a couple of hours wasted as being a fair assumption. And our new total becomes a whopping 14 and a half hours a week that we could use for something important, something constructive, something beneficial. So now what I'd like to do is take a short break for a few adverts and so on, have a little drink. And when we come back and move on to part two, we'll begin to explain how we can live on 24 hours a day. See you in a few minutes.
Sometimes we need an extra pair of hands when looking after an elderly relative, or we need a little help as we approach our twilight years. We specialise in providing a personal care service. Our experienced care team can provide assistance with bathing, shopping, meal preparation at reasonable and competitive rates. Please contact Alison on 01271 864 886. Candor Care, providing care in the community.
Warm, comforting, and crafted with love. Old world style and grace handmade to your specifications. Each item is truly unique and all handmade. If you are looking for something bold and showy, or something just like Grandma used to make, search Cozy Crochet and Crafts on Facebook.
So welcome back to this broadcast on Coaching Radio, The Sound of Success, with me, Dave Baxter from Altered Image. And we're looking today at Living on 24 Hours, a pre-seed version of Arnold Bennett's How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. So to continue, by simply examining what we do on a daily basis, we have discovered that we have a whole 14 and a half hours that we can put to better use than we are already doing. So let us work with that. I am not going to propose that all of a sudden we jump in with both feet and say something like, I have all this time, what am I going to do to fill it and make a difference to my life? What I am going to suggest is a system of working ourselves into this new way of thinking gradually. We don't want to throw ourselves in at the deep end, because this is a surefire way to ensure that we have the highest chance of quitting the task at hand without achieving the goal of living a fuller life. No, my proposal is that we simply take about 1.5 hours 3 times a week. And as a starting point, this is a great place to begin to change our life. To begin with, we need to do some preparatory work. Firstly, it is vital that we realise and understand that the experience of all things comes out of the mind. This statement is a return to some of my earlier teachings, during which we discovered that the mind creates our feelings. There are no such things as hurtful situations, nor are there joyful situations. Both of these are merely interpretations of events created by the mind. These events are simply that, they are events, with no meanings attached. To clear this up, imagine this scenario. You are walking down the street and you see a young man climbing a ladder to a window of a house. What are your thoughts about this action? Is he trying to break into the house to steal the family treasure? Is he trying to rescue someone trapped inside the building because the door is locked? Is he trying to get access to the house because he has lost his keys? 3 different possibilities for the same event. You have no idea what he is doing, but your mind will create a situation that fits the visual evidence. The mind. This is key to being able to use this recently discovered wasted time effectively. And before we get into this, we now need to take part in some mind training. The mind is our servant, although too frequently we find ourselves in situations where we say, I did it without thinking, or I was on automatic pilot. We need to train our mind to do what we want, not allow it to control what we are doing. So here is the first exercise towards living on 24 hours a day. Controlling and concentrating our mind. I will have no illusions here. This is going to be hard, but it will be extremely worthwhile. During the time when you are walking to work or travelling to work on the train or as a passenger in a car, or on a bus. Use this time to concentrate on something. Do not allow yourself to be drawn away from the thing you are thinking about. If you catch your mind wandering, call it back to the task in hand. Now, the subject matter is irrelevant, but you need to spend this focused time on the topic you have chosen. To prove that it is possible to do this, consider. Have you ever read a newspaper article or watched a TV program that so angered you that you have decided to respond and vent your anger? It seems that every moment is consumed with thinking about this situation. What are you going to say in your letter of complaint? When are you going to write it? How are you going to write it? What words will you use? You think about it all the way to the office. You think about it in the lift to your floor of the building. You think about it while you make your coffee until you sit down and write your letter. Nothing can sway you from thinking about the task in hand. It is driving you forwards, creating momentum. Hell could freeze over, bombs could be going off around you, but you don't notice them. All you see, think, and hear is your ultimate goal at that particular time. Prime example of this is the work of Bob Geldof when he created and made Live Aid happen. He became incensed by the problems of starving children in Ethiopia, and nothing and nobody would move him away from doing something about it. Concentrating the mind is similar to, if not the same as, playing scales before playing the piano or keyboard. It is a way of preparing you for what is to come. So that moves us on to our primary course of study, where you learn to live on 24 hours a day. And that course of study is yourself. How many times do your thoughts turn inwards and look at who you actually are? How often do you put yourself into a reflective state? In the book that is the basis of this writing, Bennett himself says, "We do not reflect. I mean that we do not reflect upon genuinely important things, upon the problem of our happiness, upon the main direction in which we are going, upon what life is giving to us, upon the share which reason has or has not in determining our actions, and upon the relation between our principles and our conduct. And yet you are in search of happiness. Have you discovered it?" I suspect that most of you have come to accept that happiness is for someone else, but not for you. If this is you, it is important that you have a change of thinking and realize that happiness does not come from physical or mental pleasure, but from the developing of reason and the adjustment of your conduct to match your principles. You can only be certain that conduct and principles are in harmony by daily examination, which is what we're beginning to discuss earlier. A great example of reason can be seen here. If you are in a restaurant and the waiter brings you an overcooked meal and you are tempted to shout at him and get cross with him, stop. Allow reason to take hand. When you do, you will probably realise that he did not actually cook the meal, and he had no control over the way it was cooked. You might also realise that by ranting and raving, you would achieve nothing good. You would simply have lost your dignity, made yourself look foolish in the eyes of the other diners, and probably have angered the waiter, and have absolutely no effect on the way your meal was cooked. Bearing this in mind, if you ever receive an overcooked meal in future, you will heed the lesson above. Treat the waiter with polite respect in a kindly way. Insist on having the meal replaced. The gain from this will be obvious. To move on to the next point, reading is a valuable way of improving one's mind, but again, I would stress here that taking a very selective approach to one's reading matter is important. Newspapers do not broaden the mind, contrary to popular belief. And if one wishes to read a paper, then an ideal time to do so is while waiting for dinner in the evening. But a period of calm, quiet reflection on the day's events is important. Take a look back and replay the key points of everything that was done in the day. Take a long, hard look at yourself and your actions. What could you have done better? What could you have said differently and enriched not only your own position, but those positions of the people with whom you interacted. And so to the evening's activities. It is all too easy to flop down in front of the television and allow yourself to be covered in waves of mind-numbing, spoon-fed instant entertainment. And yes, I too am guilty of that at times. However, to really improve your mind, this time would be better spent learning and studying the arts. There are numerous ways that you can accomplish this. The theatre, the ballet, a musical concert are just three. But in this musical context, you could learn from books the different parts of an orchestra. What do the different instruments look and sound like? And after a year of just three nights a week, you would amaze yourself and others with just what you know about music. Similarly, you could use the exact same approach to study art in all its forms, painting, architecture, etc. There are many excellent writings that can help in this growth and appreciation of these things. And so that brings us to the end of part two. We're going to take another short break and move on then to part three of Living on 24 Hours a Day with me, Dave Baxter, from Coaching Radio.
You are listening to Coaching Radio, the sound of success. The Mrs. Mop's range of chutneys and preserves includes traditional family recipes and our own creations using surprising new flavours in amazing combinations. All our chutneys are free from artificial preservatives, and by always using the best locally sourced ingredients, we are helping to maintain our local economy. Our range is continually growing, and you can try them for yourself by booking one of our Come Taste With Me parties. You supply the wine, and we'll even bring the crackers. To book a party, call us on 07581 735 769 or email admin@mrsmopschutneys.co.uk. Oh, by the way, Mrs. Mop's Chutneys can now be bought from Nana Sue's on Ilfracombe High Street.
Well, welcome back once again to this, the third and final part of Living on 24 Hours, a brief précis of Arnold Bennett's book, How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. So, we've looked at the way we live, we've looked at things that we can do to improve, and so now let's look at the cause and effect principle. While art and the arts are an important topic for broadening the mind, they are not the greatest thing. There is still more. Nothing in life is humdrum, to quote Arnold Bennett again. One of the most important things to get our head around is the fact that nothing happens without a reason. In other words, something has to happen to make something else happen. Once we realise this, we become both big-minded and big-hearted. To illustrate, if you have your watch or phone stolen, but you take the time to think that the thief became a thief because of his background and the environment he or she has grown up in, and then you replace the watch, you will do it by coming from a position where bitterness is impossible. You cannot help but realise how absurd it is to be continually shocked by what life throws at you. Now, to put this into perspective and in a different way, let us use the example of the sea. The person who does not understand or accept the rule of cause and effect will more than likely look at the sea as something that is fairly monotonous and is normally reserved for a two-week holiday every year before heading back to their reality. However, if you view it from a position of cause and effect, you cannot help but see that in terms of geology, the day before yesterday, it was a vapour. Yesterday it was a boiling mass, and tomorrow it will be solid ice. You will see that a liquid is simply a gas on its way to becoming solid. This realisation is the beginning and end of all science. There are serious dangers to becoming someone who devotes his time to living instead of simply vegetating in front of the TV set. Those 3 days of mind broadening cannot help but increase your knowledge and wisdom, but you must be careful how you utilise this, otherwise you run the risk of becoming a snob, a pompous fool who has lost his sense of humour during the pursuit of knowledge. It is worthwhile remembering that just because you have set off to use all of your time, not everyone else is making the same journey. Another danger to be avoided is becoming tied to the task as one who is bound like a slave to a master. The chosen program must not be allowed to run away with you. It has to be respected and not worshipped like a fetish. For example, Claire always takes the children to the swimming baths at 7 p.m. and they are home and in bed by 8:30 p.m. so that she can settle down to her reading at 9 p.m. exactly. So we could not possibly visit on... and fill in the blank. On the other hand, the program is a program, and therefore it has to be followed, otherwise it will become a travesty. So the aim is to achieve a balance between too much and too little rigidity or elasticity. Another danger is the one of rushing, being too keen to get on to the next part of your studies, that you do not do justice to what is happening in the current moment. Looking again at the example of Claire, if she were to hurry the children along so that they had to be out of the water by exactly 7:45 to allow for the journey home, preparation for bed, so that the study could begin precisely at 9 p.m, this gives the program the air of a prison sentence. The final word of warning is to advise not to fall into the trap set by boredom at the beginning of the project. As I indicated all that time ago, the boring bit is necessary to focus your mind, ready for the development to be undertaken. It is also important when deciding on a direction of study to ensure that the subject interests you. There is no sense in studying modern architecture when you have little or no interest in the subject. Choose a subject that does interest you, and you will automatically increase your chances of success. If you are interested in town criers, then study town criers. Well, thank you for listening, and that brings us to the end of this little précis of Arnold Bennett's How to Live on 24 Hours a Day. I hope you found it interesting. I hope you find it useful. I hope that we'll talk again very soon. You've been listening to Coaching Radio, The Sound of Success, with me, Dave Baxter, from Altered Image Life Coaching.
You've been listening to Dave Baxter on Coaching Radio, The Sound of Success. And this has been a Moonshadow Media production for Altered Image Life Coaching. Take care. Speak to you soon.